SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Renz, independent players, the hustlers, the people up bustling, and everybody else in between. Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks. We're throwing it down here. A lot of stuff to get to still. Ian Cameron, we haven't really talked much hockey tonight. We did a great job with Mo. We really ran the gauntlet with Mo Khan. Jason B. Tackerford, we talked baseball. So we got to get some hockey talk in here. But as far as the UFC was concerned, remember on Friday night we talked about the Michelle Pereira fight against the Pons. Hey, Pons and Ibio. Santiago Pons and Ibio. And we told you we liked Pereira in that fight. I don't know. Some people thought it was somewhat of a controversial decision. I didn't think so. And I'm pretty honest with this stuff, Matias, even if I haven't got money on it. You know what I mean? I really am. I'll always tweet out after, got lucky with that one, bad decision or whatnot. But I tweeted after. I said, right decision. Pereira's face did get messed up a bit. I'm not going to dispute it. He sort of, you know, I guess it was maybe the second round. He was minus 800, actually, bro, going into the second round. And I had him. And I knew. I was like, that's too high. I was like, he shouldn't be minus 800. And then going into the last round, he was minus 225. And then at one point in the third round, they take it down after about a minute or so. But he fell to like minus 150 again. I was never really panicked. I cashed it with Pereira. To be honest, that was my only bet of the night. I've been doing a good job with this with the UFC. I used to bet every fight and stuff and force it. Now, I look at it, I'm like, all right, I really like that. So I took that fight. I put a bigger bet on it. I won. And thank God I did not put Holly Holm in any parlays because, yeah, that was, I don't know what the hell the judges were watching there, Matias.
Yeah, tough break for Holly Holm, and you know what? I feel like it was a tough break for Pons and Ibio as well. I actually had Pons and Ibio winning the fight 2-1. I thought with that takedown late in the second round and jabbing him in the back of the head like 4 to 5 times won him that close round. And obviously
he won the second round. He won. You know what I mean? He won the
round. The third round, Pons and Ibio won clearly with volume. The second round was tight. But I gave him the round because of the takedown. But you know what? You can't leave it at the hands of the judges. At the end of the day, that fight was too close, to be comfortable with.
He got messed up early.
2.5.
He got messed up early.
Round, first round was all Pereira. But it was a good fight.
I prefer
the best fight of the night.
Oh, it was. It was. You knew it would be. But like, I prefer the pride scoring. Right, because it's you get into this sort of round stuff, and it's like, yeah, well, like you want to give a guy an extra round because he scored a little. That takedown was kind of half-assed at the end, too, bro. I get it, but I prefer to look at the overall body of work in the fight, but that's not what you're supposed to do. The Late Night Anger Management Class, it's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. It's Sunday, bloody Sunday. The mightier 1090, ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. Let's do this thing. The Golden State Warriors are on the verge of eliminating the Dallas Mavericks. Steph Curry goes off again. This is a couple of games in a row. We've hit the over 3.5 three-point shot prop. Speaking of going off, the White Sox beat the Yankees not once but twice to complete the doubleheader sweep. The Yankees scored just one run in the two games, which is the Yankees' fewest in a home doubleheader since 1991. Now, I don't think that Josh Donaldson's comments will create a controversy in the Yankees clubhouse. The Yankees have players have been arrested and have done, you know what I mean, things. I mean, order, you want to get carried away here. But at the same point in time, they've had a smooth, it's like a smooth shave. They've had a very smooth season so far. We'll see. Is this the beginning? Is this the beginning of something? Probably not, considering they play like an A-ball level schedule, it seems. Evander Kane is going off. Evander Kane now has 2 hat tricks in his postseason. First Oiler player with multiple hat tricks in a single postseason since Yari Curry. And you know what's amazing? Yari Curry had 4. 4. He had 4 hat tricks in one playoff season. Wayne Gretzky had 2 of them in the same year. Yari Curry sort of gets forgotten about in the grand scheme of things with the great Edmonton Oilers players, but he was great. Justin Thomas was great as well. And, you know, we talked about this briefly earlier. We're going to hit this on Game Time Decisions more tomorrow. But Justin Thomas had a 7-shot, 54-hole comeback. He was 250-1 at one point. 250-1. It's tied for the third largest comeback in any major championship. Only Paul Lowry in 1999, he was 10 back. And Jack Burke Jr. in 1956, of course. Jack Burke Jr. Who doesn't remember that? Jack what? Who? Jack Burke Jr. in 1956. That was serious, man. All right, we'll get into the pucks. Ian Cameron steps up and in. We'll hit Miami and Boston a little bit later on, the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I am Morency, SiriusXM channel 159. I'm out of your 1090 ESPN radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Let's talk pucks. Let's bring in one of the ice guys, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. There's a lot of stuff to break down. Babano, always a pleasure. How you doing tonight?
Very good. As always, a busy weekend and lots to discuss definitely on this Sunday night.
Yeah, it felt like another marathon of sports action this weekend. So the Tampa Bay Lightning are on the verge of eliminating the Florida Panthers. They played 3 games, Babano, and the Panthers have been favorites in all 3 games. And the Lightning have actually been underdogs in 4 straight now, going back to Game 7 against the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I understand a Game 7 on the road. I tweeted, right, with about 5 minutes left in the game, before the number came out, I said, I doubt the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be underdogs in Game 4. And they are not, but it's not like they're very big favorites, minus 120, Babano. I tell you what, people kept talking about Tampa are tired. They might be tired, but they're still better than everybody else right now.
Yeah, they are. They're playing great. I mean, they are. It's at both ends of the ice. Their special teams are great. Their power play is cashing in, and it did once again in the Game 3 victory on Sunday afternoon. Their penalty kill's been terrific. Their defensive game is where it needs to be, and they've got Andrei Vasilevsky looking like the best goalie in the world once again. Maybe there were times in April you weren't a little concerned about him. Maybe there were times during the Leaf series you were a little concerned, but no, he is dialed in right now, and he's been phenomenal and getting better and better with each game. And what I saw today from a Florida Panthers perspective was flat out disgraceful, in my opinion, that in the third period, when you're down 3-1 in the third of this game, you're down 2-0 in the series, which team is swarming the opposing net? Oh, that's Tampa Bay. Which team is blocking more shots? Oh, that's Tampa Bay. Like, where's that commitment? Where's that willingness to pay the price from the Florida Panthers? Where is it exactly in this series? I'm not seeing it in comparison to their opponent, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that's maybe one of the most disappointing things about the loss on Sunday for the Florida Panthers. You have to get yourself to a level that you're willing to pay the price and go that extra mile to win in the postseason. Florida Panthers aren't at that level right now, and they're running out of time.
Well, who would ever have imagined that an offensive-minded team that doesn't play playoff-style hockey would have problems in the playoffs? Shocking. The total is 6.5, and these games keep going under the number as well. Listen, Florida were gutted. I think they dealt with the first, game one was one thing. Losing with, 3 seconds left, 3.9 seconds left or whatever, that seemed to really beat them down. And today, they look like just defeated. Like you would have thought that the series was over tonight. And in a strange scheduling situation and spot, they're actually playing tomorrow night, which isn't good if you're Florida. Right? Like, this isn't good. Like, nothing's going your way. And now you've got to go back 24 hours later to the same arena. Tampa is just clicking on all cylinders, and Tampa know how to close series is out. They're playing with house money right now. You know, the number is starting to move. People are starting to bet on Tampa, and rightfully so. But it's amazing because people thought that there'd be a ton of goals in this series, but Bano, there really hasn't been. Like I said, the under is cashed all the way through. The dog and the under is cashed, and I don't really see how Florida respond here tomorrow night. I think they're going to lose another, you know, they're going to lose again and probably in another painful manner.
Yeah, this is more than any, like, I'm certainly not going to say to anybody, don't take Tampa Bay. I honestly think this will end in a sweep. I mean, what reason do I have to trust Florida after what I saw on Sunday? You're down 3-1 in the third period. You're down 2-0 in the series. You have to win this game. And in the third period, you're getting dominated. In the third period, you're getting outplayed by Tampa Bay in that scenario. What kind of confidence does that give you that the Panthers can suddenly find something here for game four to avoid elimination? I don't know if I see it. So, yeah, this is not me looking at anything except Tampa Bay. However, from a totals perspective, this is an elimination game. And for the first time in this series, but just beware if you've been riding these unders in this series, and I'm not saying it won't go under in game four, but you do have the elimination game situation at hand where Florida's trailing by 2 goals, 3 goals in the third period. The goalie's going to come out even earlier than normal, and you could get those goal-scoring outbursts and explosions in that final period. So just be aware of that. I really like the third period over, but for the first time in this series, I think there's a plausible case to be made. Even with 3 unders so far, could lend some value to go the other way and maybe over that number.
FanDuel have the total posted at 6.5, minus 118 to the under, 6.5, minus 104 to the over. And Vasilevsky right now has just raised the level of his play. He knew that he had to be better after the first 4 or 5 games or so against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he has been. He also subtly called out his defenseman and basically stated, number one, I haven't been able to see a lot of the pucks, as he was talking about earlier in the series against the Leafs, so telling him to, you know, do a better job of clearing some space in front of the net. And then he also said, but my guys do a great job blocking shots and have done a better job of blocking shots. So he's telling him, do a better job in front of me blocking shots and let me see the puck. He's tough to beat. They have no weakness. They have no weakness. Now, in past, I get it, this elimination game stuff, but I don't see it, Babano. There's no way in hell I'm getting in front of this total here. It's been an underfest throughout the National Hockey League playoffs in the second round.
Yep.
With the exception of the Battle of Alberta. Those two games, and then the one with St. Louis with a bunch of the late goals on Saturday. But I got to ride the under here. FanDuel has 6.5.
Yeah, if you find 6.5, and FanDuel's got it, definitely advantageous if you like the under.
All right, so the Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues, their total is 6.5. This series is interesting, in which it's kind of going the way that I thought it would. In the sense that I figured St. Louis would be able to play with these guys, but they would sort of just end up losing a lot in the end. And it's, you know, it's just hard if you're not the better team. It's hard to win 4 of 7 games. They are in this thing. But I tell you what, that was an impressive second and third period by the Colorado Avalanche. You know, sort of like the Oilers, like the Leafs, like these teams that haven't won before. They arrive at gut check times. And the Avalanche, it was a gut check time for them. It's a hostile environment. The Blues are in this thing. It's a pivotal game 3. And the Avs just reminded the Blues how much better they actually are than St. Louis. But it doesn't mean St. Louis can't win on Monday night. The Blues are getting plus 138. Colorado Avalanche are minus 166. The total is 6.5.
Yeah, this is a game I might lean to the Blues a little bit. I'm not going to be as critical about their performance on Saturday night. I thought it was perfectly a good game from them, even though they lost 5-2. I thought they played pretty well through extended stretches. Actually, Craig Berube agreed with that. He said, I liked a lot of our game tonight. And sometimes you're going to like the way you played, even if you end up on the losing side of things. You know, they were down 3-2. They had a bunch of chances, tried to tie that game late. Obviously, Colorado, you know, who's got a little bit of a bump, if you will, from the Jordan Binnington incident with Nazem Kadri, that Binnington, who's been terrific, you know, in these playoffs, had to leave the game due to that injury. And not only leave that game, he's out for the rest of this series. you know, at the very least. So it's Ville Husso time in net. And Husso great in the regular season. He's had a really good year overall. But at the end of the day, tough situation. And I think the third goal that Lehkonen scored, which really was the big goal in game three to make it 3-1 for the Avalanche at the time, I would have liked him to stop that. You know, it was a short side goal. You know, goalies will tell you 9 times out of 10 they should have that type of shot. He didn't. But St. Louis battled back. They made it 3-2 and, you know, call it pressing to tie the game before Colorado finally got those two empty net goals to put it away. I think the Blues still very much in this series. Do I think they're going to win it? No, I think Colorado probably will. But I think the Blues are not going to go away quietly. And I actually have been impressed with their game, especially the last two games against Colorado. So this might be a situation where we go back to Denver 2-2. I'm kind of leaning that way.
You can get the St. Louis Blues right now at FanDuel at +2.5 games. +2.5 games. And the price isn't bad considering where we're at in the series here right now at -160. So -160. So they get a shot here and then they would get another shot. They would have, they got a couple of shots at it actually to win another game. They're +1.5 at -172. All right. The Sunday night, Sunday, bloody Sunday puck fest. Continues with Babano on the other side. We'll get into the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. We've got a series here. I think the Blue Shirts are in it. We'll get you an updated series price. And if you haven't already gotten in, listen, I like the Rangers coming into this series. And you get a better price now, yet they're right here. And all three of these games have been as close as they can possibly be. But Rangers played great today. More Babano. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down on SiriusXM channel 159 on Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Let's do this thing. We're talking pucks with Ian Cameron, one of the ice guys, a.k.a. Babano. Follow him on Twitter, at Babano. So the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. It's been a very entertaining series. It doesn't have to, you know, there's not to be 15 goals in a hockey game for it to be good hockey. And this has been very, very good hockey. Carolina are a great team. They, I mean, these guys can skate, man. They're extremely fast. But I thought that the New York Rangers were built for the playoffs. I thought the Rangers presented value coming in to the series at +172. And now they're actually +250, which will be significantly different if they're able to nail down a game four victory. You look at the two games that they lost on the road, Babano. They played as well as they could, and they lost. But I liked it. I liked the effort, and I knew if they just kept doing the same thing, that they'd get some puck luck and things would go their way. The Canes are going to come at them hard. They're going to come at them hard on Tuesday night. But I love, man, the Rangers are a great home team. Fun series. Great, great games. I really enjoyed this series. Updated series price right now. Carolina Hurricanes -315. Rangers +250. And as far as the game line is concerned, New York Rangers are currently -120. Carolina Hurricanes +100. Total, it's the lowest total I've seen in the playoffs so far, at least at FanDuel right now, Babano. They've got total 5 posted.
Yeah, 5, because we haven't really even sniffed an over in this series. I mean, we've had a bunch of tight. We had a 2-1 game, we had a 2-0 game, and we had a 3-1 game in game 3, and none of them threatened to go over the total. So now the adjustment is being made. We're seeing the fives that are out there right now. I took Carolina in the series +105 and feel very good about it still. And even with my position with the Hurricanes to win the series, I love the Rangers in game 3 on Sunday. I thought that was a very obvious spot.
When you say +105, what, minus what?
What it was with Carolina was the game one in the series combo. That's what I bet.
Yeah, you should specify that. Yeah, they weren't because they weren't +105 to win the series.
No, but I've decided to do that rather than lay the -190. You know, that was the price they were on the original series price. So that's why we got the +105 now for the series essentially with them. But I love the Rangers in game 3. I'm not totally convinced the Rangers win game 4 also, but I also can't deny that Carolina's winless on the road now. in the playoffs continues. You know, that they have not been able to win on the road. They lost all three games in Boston in the first round against the Bruins. They lose game three at MSG. You know, and the Rangers, they get a little momentum, a little confidence. Shesterkin played one of his best games of the playoffs, hands down, in the game three, because they still had over 40 shots, Carolina. He played great. But the Rangers, they got their power play on track finally with a big early goal from Zibanejad, and the power play's been an issue for them. So lots of momentum for them, no doubt about that. And I didn't like what Carolina did at the end of the game, specifically, you know, trying to go after Ryan Lindgren, you know, at the end of the game, the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, it was one of those bad plays there that kind of got the Rangers angry, got Gerard Gallant angry. He was chirping at Tony D'Angelo was probably chirping at him first, knowing his track record. So all of a sudden, Carolina's gotten under the Rangers' skin, and the Rangers are angry now. So it's not going to be an easy game for them. You know, I think there was enough in terms of how they carried the play Carolina in game three to think they could bounce back and win in game four. But man, this is tough because they have not been able to show they can win on the road, and the Rangers have finally got a little momentum, and it could be momentum that carries them. I'll be honest, I'm torn on this game. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Well, you got until Tuesday, but Carolina are lucky they do have home ice advantage. Look, every one of these games can just go either way with Carolina and New York. They're, you know, you could argue Carolina are a better team, but as we've seen, you know, the Rangers deserve better in game one. Like, honestly, the Rangers, if this is a UFC fight and it's three rounds, even though Carolina are up 2-1, the Rangers have been better in two of the three games. They were the better team in game one. They, you know, they got scored on with like 2.5 minutes left. They lose in overtime. I'll give Carolina game two, even though the Rangers played well. And then today, the Rangers were much better than Carolina were. But as you mentioned, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, they went after him and stuff at the end. Of course they did. And if you look, what happened with St. Louis and Colorado, right? Bennington throwing water bottles at Kadri in the hallway after. Same thing with, look at Calgary tonight. Calgary took, you know, they ran Mike Smith in tonight's hockey game. It's going to happen. And it's something, you know, it's something people talk about with the Florida Panthers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you look, every team, Babano, every team that is down has gotten pissed off at some point and said, you know what, we're going to punch someone, even whatever, if it's not the coolest thing to do, we're going to cheap shot someone here just to try to change things up a little bit and send a message, except the Panthers. Like, all these other teams are sending messages and saying, all right, we might lose, but you know what, we're going to take someone down with us, even though I don't think Kadri purposely wanted to end Bennington's season, and I'll tell you that. But as far as the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers are concerned, now the Oilers are favorites, minus 114 on Tuesday night. This series is really taking a turn here right now. And it's funny, people have been very, very critical of Evander Kane over the years. And a lot of people in the media jump to assumptions and always basically, you know, he was always guilty of everything, right? Without any, you know, just any proof of anything all the time. And even when he signed with Edmonton, a lot of people were like, wow, this is a strange signing to bring him in. Well, it's a damn good thing that they have. But big players make big plays in big games, man. And Connor McDavid has been awesome, as good as he can possibly be. Leon Draisaitl has been awesome, as good as he can possibly be. Evander Kane has been awesome, as good as he can possibly be. And people want to be critical of Mike Smith when he makes a mistake, but this guy's been unbelievable as well. Even tonight, when it was 3-0 for Edmonton, Babano, Calgary, like, it was 2-0, and Edmonton made it 3, and Calgary came on pretty strong right after that. You know, they didn't give up yet or anything, and they were buzzing around the net. They nearly scored. Mike Smith made a couple of really big saves, and the game could have been 3-1 right away, and it could have changed the dynamic and the complexion. And then he made the saves, and Edmonton ended up scoring again. I didn't think the Oilers had this in them, but man, like, what, you know, if you got Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Evander Kane doing this stuff, like, you know, they could beat anybody. I'll tell you that. Man, what they played awesome tonight. Calgary are up against it, man. They're going to have to bring it on Tuesday night.
They will, and they've got to somehow solve the speed through the neutral zone and the rush chances that the Edmonton Oilers are generating, because they're getting far too many of them. Far too much speed through the neutral zone, far too many odd man rushes, outnumbered situations, and the Flames...
Well, they just need to outscore them, Babano, because nobody is saying, like, you got to keep up with Usain Bolt. You can't deal with the speed of McDavid that he brings, right? They just have to hope for the best and try to put... You know, they need to score more. It's as simple as that. They're not scoring enough goals. It was the same damn problem against I know they put a 9 spot up in game one, but it was the same problem against Dallas, Babano. They didn't score enough.
Well, that's exactly it, and you're going to have to score more against Edmonton. But I saw this coming from Calgary a little bit with the defensive issues. You're going to look at Game 6, and you're going to look at Game 7 and the latter stages of that Dallas series, and you're going to look at it, and you see Calgary only giving up 15 shots, 20 shots, 25 shots, which is pretty good. But the problem is a lot of those shots were high-danger chances, high-quality chances, and Dallas just wasn't clinical enough offensively to finish those chances, those juicy, grade-A chances that Calgary was giving them. Well, guess what? Edmonton can finish those. They've got guys that can finish off these great chances when you give them those kind of looks. And Calgary has given them those kind of looks over and over and over again.
They have better players. This is the problem. And I bet on Calgary as well before, right? I'm on Calgary to win the Western Conference, and I'm clearly in some trouble here. But like Calgary were the better team and a deeper team, as we all knew. But Edmonton superstars are playing like megastars. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they've all elevated.
It's next level stuff that, and then plus people always, Edmonton's goalie and their goaltending. Yeah, well, whatever. Like, clearly it hasn't been a problem for them. Dangerous team, but Calgary are resilient. You know, I do believe in the Flames' toughness, and you know, I do believe in that room. I believe in Sutter pushing the right buttons. But, you know, I'm just saying, Edmonton, they're a fun team to watch, Edmonton. Like I said, it just that speed, Babano, second to none. But the total, we finally got an under in this series tonight. FanDuel posted 6.5 for Tuesday night's game.
Yes, they did. And that's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But you know what? I'm thinking Calgary. Maybe I shouldn't, because Edmonton has really got control. Their speed, their skill. What Connor McDavid has 23 points in the 10 playoff games. That's a 2.3 points per game average here for Connor McDavid in the playoffs. That's absolutely incredible. You know, and now it's going to be up to the Calgary Flames. Let's see what Daryl Sutter's a defensive-minded coach. He's been here before in the playoffs, led teams to Stanley Cups. What defensive adjustment do they have? See, I disagree with you, but they just need to outscore Edmonton. They can't win that kind of game, Calgary. They've got to try to come up with some kind of five-man unit defensive structure.
Well, they won a game back in game one. They did. They beat them 9-6.
They did in that game, but that's not going to work long-term against this Oilers team. And we know this Calgary team, when they're on their game, they could be excellent defensively. They got to find that somehow, and they got to find it in game four, because I think if they go down 3-1, it's unreasonable to expect them to win three straight against this team. So I'm going to probably look toward betting Calgary in game four. At least that's my initial lean. I got to think there's a better Flames team in store that night after what we saw tonight.
Yeah, I have no choice. I almost have to dig in, you know. Johnny Gaudreau needs to be better. Right, and I totally get what you're talking about, but
everybody, I'll tell you what, you want to know what happened in Game 3? I'll tell you what happened in Game 3. Kane, Dreisaitl, and McDavid completely outplayed Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk.
But we know that's going to happen, right? They're better. They are better. So you need everybody else to step up. It needs to be a collective. So because if they're better players are better than Calgary's better players. And in the playoffs, I always talk about this. You sort of throw...
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
That team crap out. It really does come down to, all right, whose star is going to step up and make plays? Ian Cameron, AK Babano. Time flew by. Babano, always a pleasure, my man. We'll catch up with you later in the week. Thanks for joining us.
All right, great stuff, Gabe. Thanks.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Let's roll. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Let's roll. We're to the home stretch here. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Still a lot of stuff I want to get to. Thanks to Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano, for kicking it with us. So let's get you some updated numbers right now. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Golden State Warriors, minus 160 to win the NBA championship. The Miami Heat are plus 310. Boston Celtics plus 340. Dallas Mavericks 49-1. I think it's time that we concede that the Golden State Warriors are going to win the championship. They're the deepest team. They're playing the best basketball right now, and they're on the verge of sweeping the Dallas Mavericks. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat, these guys are destined for seven games, man. I tell you what, if the Boston better win tomorrow. Boston have done a nice job. We ran out of time. I want to get some basketball with Babano, but I know Babano. Oh, I'm taking Boston. They bounce back after every loss, and it's true. They have, right? So they haven't lost a lot of playoff games. They swept the Brooklyn Nets. Then they lost three times to the Milwaukee Bucks. Every time they lost, they responded by winning and covering the following game. And then, of course, they responded after losing game one. So they have responded well. They're 4-0 coming off a loss in this playoffs, and you have to tip your cap to them for that. The health situation right now, I don't know. Tune in to Game Time Decisions tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern, and we'll get you caught up to date with all the latest news as far as this game is concerned. But I said this last week, and remember we got into this with Teddy Covers on Thursday night, and he said he thinks Boston are the team to beat, and I said, well, why? You know, Golden State are the team to beat, and I said that before. And listen, I think Golden State would beat Boston, and I think Golden State will beat Miami for different reasons. Boston are good, but they're not great. I don't know why everybody thinks they're as good as they think they, you know what I mean? Like, you know, seriously, it seems to me like every handicapper and odds maker in the world thinks Boston are better than Boston even think they are. Like the players even, right? Like, oh, Boston are favored against everybody all the time. And Boston have a problem right now. Thing with Boston is they're really good, but they have these momentary lapses of reason. A little Pink Floyd reference. They have these momentary lapses where, right, like we've talked about it, they did it against Milwaukee as well, right? They can blow a lead. They can completely just sort of implode. They can fall apart fast, this team. And they just sort of have these little 2-3-4 minute intervals where they turn the ball over a bunch of times in a row. They take bad shots. Like the wheels just sort of fall off. And it's one of those, man, we were playing pretty well, but what happened? Now, on Saturday, they did this to themselves. And listen, there was a lot of talk about Kyle Lowry going to the Miami Heat, and he really hasn't played all that much in the playoffs, right? He hasn't played all that much, and they needed him to come back at the time that he did, and he comes back. And then when Jimmy Butler didn't come back, they needed him to step up, and he did. It's the one thing, and I know Kyle Lowry's game well. This guy is a big, big-time, big-game player. And one thing about Kyle Lowry, if you notice, see, like, Miami were lucky that they built up that massive lead and they hung on for dear life as everybody started getting hurt and everything started getting strange as the game went on. But Kyle Lowry did the same thing for the Raptors in 2019 when they won the championship. He scored 26 points in the series-clinching game. And I believe he scored the Raptors' first 13 points. I think he scored the game's like first 9 to 13 points type thing. Like if you recall, it was like Kyle Lowry for 3, Kyle Lowry for 3. Kyle Lowry was like one of those, and it was like, wow, the Raptors are like winning 13-0 or 13-2 or something right now because of his start, and they never really turned back. Right, they were under pressure. They blew a chance to win the championship the night before. They were up by 6 with like a minute left, and they blew it. And there was a lot of, oh my God, are they going to blow this thing? And he came out hot early and set the tone. And similar situation. Early in the game, he sets the tone. He's making plays. He makes a couple of baskets, a couple of steals here and there. You know, play here, play there. And they needed it. But listen, Boston have always bounced back. But where I'm going with this is, tomorrow night, listen, I've been taking Miami in every game. So I'm 2-1 here. I'm on Miami. What did I do with Miami? I took them +1.5. So I got this series to go 7 before the series started. That was my future bet in here. And so I've got Miami. I got this series to go 7. I got Miami +1.5. I actually don't have Miami +1.5. I believe the word that I have is just over 6.5 games, to be honest. I'm not sure if it's even like deep Miami. Let's see. I'm looking at my unsettled wagers, in which there are a lot of them. And I skipped. All right, here we go. Here we go. No, all right, I do. No, what am I talking about? I don't need. All right, no, my bad. I have the Mavericks and Warriors to go 7. Nobody to win, just like series goes over 6.5 games. There's not a lot of locks in the world, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I don't think I'm going to win that bet. And I actually have the Miami Heat here. At the Miami Heat to win the series that we got in at +145 and +120. So I got so many futures. I'm like, oh, what do I have? And so I don't really need to bet on the Miami Heat tomorrow. I already sort of have them. I have them here. I thought I had the series to go 7. As I mentioned, Boston have been great at bouncing back. They're 4-0 coming off a playoff loss. Miami, the thing with this game is, I don't know what's up with Jimmy Butler. Right? I don't know. I'm hearing, you know, we heard, oh, it's nothing serious and he shouldn't. He'll be fine. And now, I don't know, later tonight, I was hearing, well, I don't know, is maybe he might not play. I'm going to assume that he does play. You know, a lot of teams would sort of look at this game and have an approach of, well, you know, whatever happens, we're going to go back to Miami, tied at 2, and this is sort of, you know, it's a house money game. And it is, in a way, it is a house money game, but at the same point in time, I don't think Coach Spoelstra, I don't think the Miami Heat, the type of players that look at anything is like a game that they want to just give up. Like, they win this game, they're going to win the series. But with all that being stated, I don't think it really matters who wins. Now, as far as Miami is concerned, I think Miami will break down along the way. I don't think, I love Kyle Lowry to death. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But I don't think Kyle Lowry will be able to stay healthy. Like, I think he'll be able to step in and give you this and that here and there. But he's like a pitcher, man. Is he going to be able to go for you every 3 days in the playoffs type thing, every 4 days in the playoffs for you? They're going to need him, right? They're going to need, especially if Jimmy Butler. Like, if Jimmy Butler doesn't play, I don't see how they're going to win the game. But, and I know they hung on without him, but they also had a massive lead to work with. So, but they had a 14-point lead or something. I think it was 12. Was it 70-58? No, 72-58? Yeah. It was 72-58 at the half, whatever. So it's a tricky spot. If you're taking Boston, I understand why. If you're taking Miami, I understand why. But like I said, Boston have responded well in these situations. But back to my original point. So you look at Miami, and Kyle Lowry gets hurt often. He's older, and he's got like a million injuries. So let's say you know, this series isn't going to be easy. This is going to be a battle. So Golden State are going to be kicked back watching this, and normally I would say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're going to get rest, but whatever. You know what I mean? It's the finals. The team's going to be on adrenaline. It's not just the rest factor. It's the fact that the Miami Heat players seem to get hurt. Now Tyler Hero's hurt too. Right? I'm not saying he can't play, but he's banged up now. Kyle Lowry is like always one like loose ball away from diving and getting hurt. Like he's always one, oh, I pulled something away from getting hurt. Jimmy Butler plays so hard, but he seems, you know what I mean? He just had to leave the game. They went to the finals 2 years ago and didn't have two of their starters. And if you remember, when I talked about NBA futures a lot, I said, you know what? I like this Heat team, but what did I say? I said, I just don't see them staying healthy all the way through the playoffs. So even if they win this series, I don't know. I don't really believe that they're all going to stay healthy. And then you get Boston on the other hand. Marcus Smart is in and out all the time. I don't know if they're going to be able to stay healthy. I don't know. Like the NBA playoffs seem, I don't know how why it is, but the guys in the NBA get hurt every night. Guys in the NHL don't somehow, even though the NHL is like the most violent league of them all. So guys just seem to always getting hurt. So that's the thing. But if you like the Warriors, number one, even if both teams were at full strength, I still think the Warriors are better than them. I don't think Boston are as good as people think they are. And they're going to be lucky to get through the series with Miami, and I don't think they'll be able to beat Golden State. And then you got Miami, who Miami are good, but they're always like an injury. They're always injured. It's always a disaster waiting to happen. And they're good, but they need to be perfect. Like, they try to, you know, they sort of outwork you and try to make less mistakes than you do. They're not going to be able to do that against Golden State. And I think Golden State can win in Miami more so than Miami would win in Golden State at in San Francisco. So listen, I said the other day, I think Golden State are going to win the title, but I don't like it at plus 100. Now it's minus 160. And so we missed out on this. We had to ask you, you know, so you have to ask yourself now, it's one of these deals. Are you going, who do you like in the NBA Finals? I'll ask you, Matthias. You know what I mean? So my whole point is, if you are thinking, yeah, Golden State's going to win the championship, then there's no need to wait anymore. We missed out on the plus 100. It's minus 160 right now. Yeah, like even if they don't sweep Dallas, they're still going to beat them. So the number will go down if they lose. But I tell you what, if they win, then this ain't minus 160 anymore, and we really missed out. And 160 is almost like a cutoff where it's like, all right. That's still not that bad to get in on this right now. Because if you like Golden State, take them now, point blank. You got Golden State winning the title, Matthias?
Oh, yeah, Gabe, I've had Golden State winning the title. And you know what? I still think it's Boston in the finals against Golden State, but that's a toss-up, like you said.
Right. Exact results. Golden State beat the Miami Heat plus 180. Golden State beat the Boston Celtics plus 260. If you got confidence in the Celtics to win the title still, Boston at plus 360 to beat the Warriors in the finals.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning, quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Shout out to everybody joining us on SiriusXM channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. So we've lost value with Manny Machado to be the MVP. He's plus 200 right now. We're just talking about the Warriors. I just found the Warriors at minus 140. That's actually, it's probably about as good as it's going to get. Warriors at minus 140. And this is a weird number that I just threw in here, but it's basically what I had in my account. And it works out to a perfect number. 1,000. Oh, no, wait. No, I got an extra 7 in there. It's like the price is right here. 1,000. What's the final bid? $1,172, Bob. What's the Golden State Warriors? That is $1,172. Yeah, $1,172. That's essentially what I have in my account. So it took a lot. Calgary Flames aren't helping me out very much, I'll tell you that. This team's starting to upset me. All right. But I'm just looking right now because I think Golden State's going to win. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. What if I just put my whole account on this right now? It actually pays $2,009. I don't really care about that $9. I'm kind of weird like that. I'd rather just have that exactly $2,000. The Warriors will cut down the nets. I'm going to put another $1,000 on Andrew Wiggins to be the MVP of the finals. No, I'm kidding. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.